Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may place our trust in Christ crucified. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Acts, we hear the account of Philip, who was led by the Spirit to go to an Ethiopian eunuch, an Ethiopian court official, who was returning from his pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The Ethiopian man was sitting in his chariot reading aloud from the Bible. In fact, he was reading from the book of Isaiah and from the very chapter that we heard read today. This is what we hear in the book of Acts. Now, the passage of scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb, silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. Now, as Christian people, we know, together with Philip, that the book of Isaiah is speaking about Jesus. And today, with Philip, I'll proclaim the good news about Jesus from the prophetic words of Isaiah. And the sermon will have three main points based on the reading. And the first is that Jesus' suffering and death reveals our sin. That is, it shows that our natural spiritual situation is much worse than we think. The second is that Jesus' suffering and death are vicarious. That is, that Jesus suffered and died for us, that he took our place. And the third is that through Jesus' vicarious suffering and death, we have healing and peace from God. Okay, let's go to the first point. Jesus' suffering and death reveal our sin. This is what we read in Isaiah today. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, I'll read this passage out again as we come to the second and third points, laying stress on different aspects of the passage. But notice for now that Jesus' suffering and death are the result of our transgression and of our iniquity. Now, we don't use these words, transgression and iniquity, much in everyday speech. But simply put, transgression is rebelling against God by breaking one or more of his laws. And iniquity means any offence against God, from willful rebellion to unintentional sins. Now let's think about what Isaiah is saying. Jesus' suffering and death show the cost of our sin. And because the cost is so high, we think of the spitting and the mocking, the blows and the flogging, the crown of thorns, and that most gruesome form of execution, crucifixion. Because the cost is so high, this shows us that our sin is much worse than we think. We have clues about this sort of reality in everyday life. In our immaturity, when we're thinking only of ourselves, we don't think what it's like to be someone else. And we can say and do things that are very hurtful and damaging. We can, as immature people, in a state of obliviousness, damage property, harm reputation, and destroy relationships. And we can remain in a state of obliviousness until we see the suffering that we've actually caused and the cost in making reparations. Even if it's as simple as destroying a vase because as kids we're running in the house where we shouldn't be running, or something far more serious, like destroying a loving marriage through violence or unfaithfulness. Transgression and iniquity have a cost. And it cost our Lord Jesus not silver or gold, but his holy and precious blood. Jesus' death reveals our sin. But Jesus' death was also vicarious. It was for us. Let's listen again to these words from Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of our servant, our Lord Jesus Christ, was taken upon himself the punishment that we deserved. He was wounded and crushed for our transgression, for our iniquities. Now, as Christian people, we understand that Christ was doing, and again, there are clues to this in life. Because when we are in our immaturity, often people, usually our parents, have to take upon themselves the cost of our harmful actions. I imagine that sometime during your own childhood, you damaged property, either in your own home or at school or a friend's or relative's house, and that it had to be replaced. There was a cost, and it was borne not by you, but by your parents. They repaired what you could not. This is a very simple example of a much deeper reality. As Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer, we are all debtors. We all owe God because of our sin, and we accrue a spiritual debt that we can't pay. But the cross of Christ shows us that God, our loving Heavenly Father, pays the debt, that our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses," he stands in our place and takes the punishment for sin and transgression that we deserve, but that we are not able to bear. And this takes us to the third point. Through Jesus' vicarious suffering and death, we have healing and peace from God. Let's listen a third time to these words from Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. In the church, we talk about Christ's atoning sacrifice. That yes, Christ's death shows us the true nature of our sin, and that his death pays the cost for our sin, but also that through his suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ has gained for us peace with our Father in heaven and healing from the destructive effects of our sin. Through the cross, we are at one with God. How Jesus' death achieves this goal is something that Christian people throughout the ages have thought about as they've listened to God's word and meditated on it. But that Jesus' death achieves the goal of bringing us into a good relationship with God, that is something that the scriptures simply proclaim. And this is not of theoretical significance. It is entirely practical and changes our lives here and now. Look at what your Lord has done for you on the cross. He has taken upon himself your sin and your shame. He has paid the cost that you could not pay. He has opened the way for you to friendship with God. And more than this, he has given you the freedom to live as a son or as a daughter of the Creator of all that there is. Trust that this is so, and you will experience, without anyone needing to teach you a lesson, the freedom and the joy and the peace that your Lord has won for you on that first great Good Friday. Today's Old Testament reading ends with these words: "Therefore I will allot the suffering servant a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered among the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Today is Good Friday, but we are looking ahead to Easter Sunday. We know that our Lord, who died for us, also now lives for us and even intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. Listen how St. Paul puts this in Romans 8, in language that resonates with today's Old Testament reading language. "If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, God who declares righteous, innocent. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who indeed intercedes for us." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the cross does make clear what we could intuit about our natural spiritual state, that we could not do of our own spiritual strength, that our sins are indeed great and the burden too heavy to bear. But in Christ Jesus, we have one who has taken our place, who has suffered our punishment and borne our cost, and who brings us healing and peace with God, and who more than this speaks up for us now before the Father. So today, as God's people here at Bethlehem, let's confess our sins. Let's confess Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And let us confess that he is Lord, now exalted at the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.